Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got another fantastic show for you guys today. Today we're dealing again with legal ramifications of mental health issues and professional regulations they're trying to get through, but so much bigger implications that it has for you. So listen on up, because this is important for everybody to get the bigger picture of what's being created and how you can be a part of making a difference, a real difference today. So, we got a full house today. Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, broadcast 6:30 on Tuesdays, 12:30 on Thursdays. Listen on the archives. Go to ardencenter.com and go to the media tab, and you'll see YouTubes of these and iTunes recordings of these and podcasts and every kind of dimension. Or you could go to KRUU, and a bunch of them are archived there. We really look forward to having you participate, because as Representative Hansen is about to tell us,
it's important that we realize the problems we're having in our community, and many of these mental health issues seem to be increasing. I'm not sure whether we're identifying the issues more clearly or if we simply have more mental illness happening in our state and our communities, but it's an important issue for us to address at its lowest possible levels.
Okay, and what did you say about democracy?
Democracy is not a spectator sport. You have to be a participant, and that often involves going to long, boring meetings.
So make a difference. So Gary and Leanne, wonderful guests, are with us again today. So say hello.
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 So Leanne, you are a school teacher of gifted and talented.
I am, for Ottumwa Schools. I'm a talented and gifted teacher at the North Elementaries in Ottumwa Schools.
And you used to also be in Des Moines before?
Yep, I was a drama director at Abraham Lincoln High School in Des Moines.
Okay, and so you come from quite a diverse background in this kind of stuff. And Gary?
I'm currently the Wapello County Attorney.
Okay, which is a pretty serious position.
Yeah, keeps me busy.
And you run that office?
Correct.
Okay, and how do you see things, Gary? So you were about to tell us some stuff before, and I'm really curious to have you say your thoughts on things.
Well, again, I think a lot of the issues that are going on at the State House, as well as what we're talking with mental health.
And this is stuff, by the way, is happening in Iowa, throughout Iowa. But I want everyone to get, as Kurt Hansen just said, this is really, we could think about it as a national perspective. You could be from my hometown of Chicago and be seeing exactly the same kind of thing in a different kind of dimension. So I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Right. Well, I think that a lot of what we're seeing when it comes to mental health funding, school funding, a lot of different issues, diversity, immigration, again, a sort of a me-first attitude seems to be taking over, but a lot of, what we have to realize, a lot of these funding structures and, legislation and policies and regulations were put in place to prevent those who are in the majority from, sort of taking control and taking all of the resources at the expense of those who are in the minority or who are less advantaged. And I think a lot of, the character of our society is defined by how we take care of those who are less advantaged, the poor, the children, the elderly, the disabled. And, a lot of the ways that things are shaping up now is to push those people who are on the fringe more to the fringe so that the remaining people can...
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But,
correct.
But, again, like we were talking about last time, one thing that I really, again, even a contrarian thought of this is like, okay, I'll be me. Me for me. I'm a rich guy. You guys didn't know that I'm a billionaire. But I'm a rich guy and I'm for rich guys. Okay, great. The problem with that is that, we don't live in a little island. So we were talking about gun legislation before, and given there's new legislation, how would you say this?
It's an ominous gun bill. It's a very, very extensive bill that will make major, major changes in how we license and how we look at all sorts of aspects of this. The mental health issue is a part of that, and the licensing, all of those things. Going back a little bit, HSB 138, which is dealing with licensing of professional medical people, also affects our local hospitals here in Iowa. We have critical needs hospitals that through this bill might be into a situation where they can no longer operate profitably. We turn all of this the things that are really highly profitable, we turn those over to hospitals that are for profit. And where does that leave the rest of the rural areas? It leaves them without medical staff and without hospitals. So it goes beyond just the mental aspects of it into the actual physical health of a lot of people in rural areas.
But this thing of isolation, even if you could wall yourself off into your community, every family is touched by mental illness or by difficulties. More than half the population at some point or another will experience some mental distress, let alone physical distress. And for instance, with the ominous gun bill, for instance, allowing people who have mental illness to have guns, right?
Yes, that's a possibility with this, that people who are self-identified would be able to obtain weapons permits and so forth. The thought is that if you don't do that, then people would never self-identify. It's kind of a chicken and egg question.
So the point of that is, though, okay, so let's say I feel safe. So why do I care? Why do I care about any of this?
And if you have a situation where people are angry, people who are upset, and people are antagonistic, is that necessarily life-threatening or is that just an annoyance? And the threats that are perceived could be far different from an 83-year-old frail man compared to a 26-year-old person that's, really buff. The threats are viewed vastly different, and how you're going to look at those in court. We have a long, long history in Iowa of dealing with self-defense and all of those things to turn those court proceedings over on their head and start anew, I think, is short-sighted and not going to do a great deal of justice for Iowans.
But again, we all drive on the same roads, and if you're driving with somebody with road rage or who has a gun because they feel like they want one, regardless if they've got mental illness or not, you can't isolate yourself from those people.
You cannot.
And, we all live in this world together, if we like it or not. So.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of issues with, with the gun bill, and I think a lot of that again, is taking the ideology over the practicality. And the reality is this bill is really not very well thought through, not very well written. Even if you agree ideologically with some of those principles, the manner in which the bill is trying to put those in effect is going to have a lot of unintended consequences, especially for law enforcement or prosecutors. We're trying to enforce the law, and they're leaving a lot of gaps where it's going to be very difficult for us to do that.
Well, and again, that also comes down to some of the prejudice that's happening and some of the fear base. I was acknowledging in this community, there's a huge amount of fear that people have told me. And maybe they're undocumented and you think they should go away to some other place that they've never been. Or that families could be split up and we could talk on and on, they're from a Muslim community and they can't go visit their families. Their mother is dying because they might be in school, but if they go, they won't be able to get back in to the country, or they might not want to ever come here. And, the U.S. is still the strongest for education. So people are still wanting to come here for educational purposes, and it benefits us to have that happen. It benefits our society. It benefits our schools. It benefits every one of us. And so, again, when we adopt that us versus them mentality or the all or nothing thinking, we're always painting ourselves in a corner. We're always trapping ourselves, and we're not allowing for the possibility of what we can all create together.
Exactly. Throughout our history, we've been a nation of immigrants. Unfortunately, there's been times in our history when we were very anti-immigration for a special group of people. I can remember reading stories about how Anne Frank's family was denied entrance to the United States because of her religious faith, allegedly. So those are instances. We go back even further to the Know Nothing Party, and back in the 1850s and early 1860s, they had really three platforms, and one of the platforms was anti-Catholic. So we've had these things in the past, and we need to recognize them, and we need to move forward, not repeat them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the fear mongering is real. And again, even if you buy into this, you are better than, and you deserve more, or whatever it is, your group should take precedence over another group. It becomes destructive even for you. It's not in your own interest what you're creating. The people that you're voting into office are not serving you. In fact, they're undercutting you, and they're deceiving you of what you think they're creating for you.
We've siloed our thinking in many, many ways recently in my recent history, because in the past we had various newspapers that were publishing, and they were responsible for their views. And if they had published something that was not agreeable to a lot of the constituents would write in and say, justify this. We've seen the demise of that in many cases with all of the cable networks and the internet news, where there's really no accountability. And when we further silo ourselves by accepting only those things into our computers and internet access that are much like us. So we've lost the ability to look beyond our own little self-interests, and we're focusing those things on what may be small interests and not the broad interests of the population.
Well, I was just going to say, for me, I know it's a lot to go through. So I was just sitting here thinking, what can I do, though, as a teacher in schools to help my students, and as for myself, to make sure that the information is something that I can decipher and say, okay, this is truth, or this I'm not sure, where do I go?
And that's becoming even harder and harder, because the truth out there is not so filtered anymore with all of the things that are coming through. I once had the privilege of taking a persuasive speech class as a undergraduate, and one of the things that I learned from that was propaganda. The first thing you do is name it completely something opposite of what it is. If it's the People's Democratic Republic of East Germany, you know it's a communist country, and just the exact opposite of what the name is. And so you find out that there's a lot of these things, and never tell a little lie, tell a huge lie, because people will find out the little lie and they have difficulty finding out the big lie. Well, these are some of the basic tenets of propaganda, and we're seeing more and more of this in our daily lives.
Well, absolutely. I mean, just yesterday, the other day in Fairfield, there was two competing films on climate change. And one was a climate change, I thought it was a climate change denial film, and one was a climate, and it's like, you know, again, facts do matter. And 98% of all scientists believe that global climate change is occurring. Now, you could be part of that 2%, but actually those 2% of climate scientists generally are getting paid by the people that are propagating a certain perspective. And so again, okay, that you could buy into that or not. The question is, as an individual, what do you do? What matters to you? And because it does become rather confusing, and they seem like two equal things. You know, well, you're having a debate, so maybe they're equal. And it's like, some things aren't equal. Some things are.
I remember going back into the cancer and cigarettes and the linkage there. And there was a heavily denial group of people that we learned later were funded by the industry. 9 out of 10 doctors smoke Camels, for example, would be example of that. And as we progressed, we found out that a lot of those studies were funded by tobacco companies and tobacco institutes and tobacco interests. And so those are things that I've learned from history that we better be paying attention to, because if we don't pay attention to history, it's going to repeat itself.
So, again, the mental health concern is that you don't know what's real after a while. You don't know what's up, what's wrong, what's right. And you start voting against your own interest. You start voting in a way that doesn't work for you. And if you're confused enough, you don't stand up and call your congressperson or your senator or the local state house, you know, the local state representatives. And then they're saying, I want to make a difference, or I want to know so that I can have an opinion that actually is worth something and make it.
Well, I was going to say, as a teacher, though, we just have tried to tackle this whole union thing. And sometimes, honestly, right now, what's happening, I feel like it doesn't even matter if I call. They're not listening sometimes. They're just pushing their agendas
start
through.
Start with, what is the union thing that you're discussing? Oh, by the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. You are listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're having another political discussion today. But it really does impact mental health, so don't hang up. Really listen and do something. Contact your congresspeople. Contact your senators. Contact the State House. And before, Leanne, before you go back, is there anything else that we
get involved politically at a very low level? Get involved with your city. Get involved with your county. Even if it's the township trustees, which are probably the lowest political level here in Iowa, but get involved in
because they're what they do actually does have an impact on your life.
It makes a difference. They're dealing with property rights and fence rows and so forth. They're dealing with local township cemeteries. Those things at the township trustee level then go on up to the various organizations, whether they be extension areas or whatever they might be at the local government. Start locally and work up and be involved. Be involved. Don't sit in front of the TV or go to the every night sports cast and then say, well, I can do nothing. You can do nothing. Individuals do make a difference.
You can do something. Make a difference today. Sorry, Leanne, go.
Well, I guess it's actually the collective bargaining. I mean, we had a lot of teachers and everything saying, hey, you can't just gut the collective bargaining.
This is what's coming down in Iowa is the same thing they did in Wisconsin. Again, even though we're talking about Iowa today, this is the same as what's going on everywhere.
It's worse than Wisconsin.
And, you know, we were talking about Alex in the last show. Maybe you could explain what Alex is again in a second. But one of the issues is destroying bargaining rights. And why would, let's say I'm on the other side of that coin. Let me again be devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Maybe there shouldn't be bargaining rights.
Well, here's what I'm going to say is what we were hearing from some of the senators and representatives were that, oh, this is what we want. This is what people want. And yet I know that in our district and in other districts, people were scrambling last minute to get a contract in place that would cover us for a certain number of years with the school board. So they're trying to say, this is what school boards want. This is what communities want. This is what school districts want. It's just the teachers are having too much power with these collective bargaining and other things. And we were scrambling last minute. We had last minute meetings. We had to go in and sign to say, okay, yeah, let's just get this contract in place so that we're covered. Cause once it was in place and it was binding, but if we didn't get it in before they had the vote, then you were not going to be in a contract. And people need to recognize school boards were scrambling with us. This wasn't just teachers saying we want it. The school boards were saying, come on, we got to get this done as well. So I think people need to realize that sometimes what we're hearing from some of these senators and that is not true.
It's their, again, people have their own agendas. And again, that's what you're talking about. What's truth and what, and truth does matter. And what we do with it does matter.
And I want to thank Representative Hansen for saying get involved at the local level, because that's how you do see what is really happening.
And become part of the school board. Become part of the thing where you could have a voice and get that you're not silenced because you can't be a senator or go to Congress or something. You can do something today, and you could make your voice heard, and you can make phone calls, and you could go to meetings, and you could do something. But this collective bargaining is a really interesting one because people, I think, don't get this. My wife's Australian, and the unions are very strong like they used to be in the States, only they're not corrupted. Some of them used to be a bit corrupted here in the States. They're not corrupted there. And it benefits everybody to have working wages. It brings the entire country up. And so the country's GDP, the country's value goes up. by everybody having strength, and it's by undercutting people's pay. What happens is then those people at the lowest level, you know, don't get to have enough wage to spend money to then contribute to the society. You know, it's sort of like people think of the propaganda, the trickle-down economics. Only, you know, if I was a billionaire, I'm going to contribute more. Well, no, you're not.
This goes way beyond wages. It goes into professional development and self-worth. And when you deny that of professions and groups, the whole groups of people, this is going to demoralize the people of Iowa. And I think you're going to see an intellectual exodus out of Iowa if we continue to let this happen. So we must step up and realize that this is much more than just money and just taxpayer dollars. This is a whole idea of, is this profession, are these groups of people, are these law enforcement officers, are these teachers, are these Department of Corrections people, do they have a say in what their job descriptions are, how they're going to be evaluated, what kind of risks they're going to take, what kind of protection might they have, or is that simply going to be dictated from the top down and you're going to be told to sit down and be quiet or leave the building?
Right. I think people need to recognize that, you know, part of the purpose of government agencies is to provide services to the citizens, right? Police protection, fire protection, you know, teachers, all kinds of different services that are provided to you.
Roads that actually
right.
work.
You know, roads, all kinds of things.
Hospitals, support hospitals, right. Again, that aren't just private for pay to make money for themselves, but to actually have hospitals for areas that, right?
Right. So the question for the citizens is, do you want your firefighters, your, you know, law enforcement officers, those type of people, do you want their departments fully staffed? Do you want them properly trained, properly equipped? And do you want people who are there, who are the top quality people who are going to provide you the best services? Or do you want to completely gut all of their compensation, benefits, et cetera, training, equipment, everything from them, so that the people you have are not fully trained, not fully staffed, not the best candidates for those jobs, and who are going to provide substandard services to you. It comes back to the old adage, you know, you get what you pay for. If we want to cheap out on what we're providing to our public employees, the effects you know, those effects are going to come back on us.
We've entered a race to the bottom.
Yes, absolutely. And that's part of the point of, like, addressing the mental health issues of this, is that we really are affected. We are one community. So let me get to one other issue here, which is I've been dealing with a lot of people that have a lot of fear lately. And they could be Muslim. But I've also had a lot of people who are Jewish that are very afraid. There's been instance of huge increase of anti-Semitism since this president's been in office and since his rhetoric. Forget about if you voted for him, like him, love him, hate him, whatever. The rhetoric has enabled people to start having greater anti-Semitism. The hate groups have more than tripled in this country. And what's interesting about it is, how do people now address their fears? And how do you support people who are now afraid? Because otherwise it infects you. It affects that community. If one person's afraid, we all start becoming afraid. And maybe it's not the same thing.
Fear is contagious, and fear is one of the highest emotions that we have. And people will tend to believe the bizarre stories and the most fearful stories because, as I said before, fear is a very strong emotion in our bodies. So we have to counteract that with truth and with knowledge and with diversity. If you know your neighbor and that person happens to be of not your race or not your ethnicity, you know that person on a personal basis, and you've learned to accommodate and get along with that person because you realize that there's a lot of good people in this great world, and that they're not always the same color or religion that you are, and that's an important thing to recognize. But if you have no knowledge of those people, if you're in isolation and you're staying in isolation by remaining in your particular small group of coffee drinkers or in your internet group or something, then you have no knowledge and you're easy prey for these people who are fear-mongers.
Well, and I think I really appreciate what Representative Hansen said, that we need to get out on that local level. I know of a young gal who is gifted, who is struggling with a lot of existential issues after the election and fear herself. And I just hope that people understand that together, you know, individually we can make a difference, but also together we can make a difference. And we need to get our voices heard out there together, not just sit at home and throw up our hands and say, I can't do anything. Find somebody else who feels that same way and say, well, let's try to get something done together and keep finding these groups.
Very good, because together we can. Individually, we're going to have to struggle and probably can't. So that's one of the things that we should be unifying our society and pushing forward to new heights and new ideas. But I don't see that really happening at the present with the present political movements right now. So I think we're going to have to make some really, really basic decisions the next time we have elections and decide which way do we want to go. Do we want to go down the path that we're going? Is this good for the greater good of everybody? Or do we want to make a change here? And that's going to depend on the voters, and they have to think this over and reevaluate it. And I think it was going clear back to Thomas Jefferson. He said, an educated democracy, we must have an educated democracy, otherwise we shall have no democracy.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's the responsibility is on all of us as individuals and our families and communities to reach out to the people who might be afraid, to let them know that at least we're not someone they should be afraid of, and try to try to let them know that they maybe don't need to be afraid.
Yeah, and again to do something about that fear. That just like fear is infectious, so is hope and possibility, and another way to get through this. That there is another way than building walls between us all. Sorry to make the metaphor between, but you know, it's like there is a better way. And part of that is getting involved and making a difference today. And maybe it's only with your neighbor, maybe with somebody who's feeling alone. Maybe it's somebody, like I said, with the great anti-Semitism that's been arising lately. And you might not know Jewish people, but Jewish people are very much afraid right now in various areas because, like in St. Louis, almost 200 gravestones were desecrated. And, you know, I had a friend who was talking to me about it, and she was in tears because she's from there. And somebody she knew was destroyed there. And again, it's not just her. It's not just your friend. It's everybody. And so instead, let's find a different avenue.
Have we forgotten our old saying that was once thought of as a motto? I don't think it was ever a real motto, official motto, but it was E pluribus unum, from many come one. And that, I think we've forgotten that objective that we had as a new democracy as we matured and so forth. We've changed that. So I think we have to go back to that, from many we become one.
Absolutely. And to finish up today, you know, to remember that if you're feeling isolated and if you're feeling afraid and you're feeling alone, maybe from this political situation or maybe from something else, to come back to a point of strength, to come back and reach out and don't isolate. Do something about your experience. Create a more productive, positive experience for you and to try and make a difference for somebody else in this world. Anyway, thank you. Any last words from anyone?
Well, I hope that we can move forward in this, and I think that it doesn't make any difference who gets the credit as long as we move forward. So I'm willing to work across the aisle and work with whoever comes up with the best idea.
Thank you so much, Gary, Leanne, Representative Hansen. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.